And we continue ahead here on the show. And if you're just tuning in, my name is Jeremy Lawrence. His name is Roger Taylor. And we are together, the show that has no name.
Yeah.
I have some thoughts on being able to get a name for that, but we have a little more development to do.
Yeah. So, we've had things we're thinking about.
You know, I think there's other things that are on our brain. A couple of notes in regards to the shooting in Colorado that we have heard at this point. The danger is over. The shooter has died, and apparently one student injured seriously. Another student who's injured that apparently he's going to be okay is from what we're hearing of the latest at this particular point. CBS News will get us the latest coming up at 4:31. So you can be sure to be around for that. And, of course, as we hear anything, we'll let you know what's going on with that. But, the good news is that sounds like the danger is past at this particular point.
Nobody likes hearing about these things in schools.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's just...
The danger is past. There won't be any more casualties.
But which is always good to hear.
Yes.
All right. Now,
yes.
Now, we have... other things that we wanted to chat about, and one of the stories that's come out is the cost of rent. Roger.
Well, in Michigan, at minimum wage, you have to work 77 hours a week to just pay your rent.
Okay.
And when we talk about the growing divide between the haves and the have-nots, there's a pretty good example of exactly what poor people are facing. If you have to work 77 hours a week, that is nearly two full-time jobs.
Pretty much, yeah.
Just to pay for your rent.
That
doesn't put food on the table. That doesn't give you electricity and heat in your two-bedroom apartment. But you can see why there are so many families struggling these days. And we talk about the horrible growth of these programs that like food stamps. Well, one of the reasons for the growing number of people who are eligible for food stamps is because of the growing poverty in the state. And how do you live when you have to work 77 hours a week just to pay for the average two-bedroom apartment? Now, a single person obviously doesn't need a two-bedroom apartment.
Certainly, certainly.
But a family would.
Yeah.
Of even three, you would need a two-bedroom apartment. And so potentially people would have more than one person out there in the workforce. But clearly one way to reduce the number of people eligible for food stamps would be to increase the minimum wage so people can earn enough money to get above the poverty level so they no longer qualify for food stamps.
Here's the thing where, and I'm with you and I have compassion for the people that can't afford to be able to live in a two-bedroom apartment. But when you go to the idea of the minimum wage being the solution, I'm not sure that that's it, and here's why. I think when you raise the minimum wage for a lot of businesses, they got to find a spot to be able to say, all right, we're seeing some increased costs here, so we're going to have to find out where those are coming from. Most businesses aren't willing to take that out of their bottom line. They're going to say, all right, we need to be able to do something here to be able to cover that, so they pass the cost on to the consumer.
And then
you know, you see prices go up on things. And when you see prices go up on things, then these people who are suddenly earning more for minimum wage can't afford stuff because prices has gone up on everything to pay for their increase in the minimum wage. On a theoretical level,
I understand what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
but you can't tell me that the playing field remains level. And we talk about moochers in mm-hmm. this country, mm-hmm. and we have a number of corporations that have become moochers.
Okay.
When you have a company like Walmart, as part of their employee orientation, they show their employees how to apply for food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that company is taking taxpayers for a ride. They're using taxpayer dollars to subsidize their business so they make more profit out of their business.
Okay.
Tell
me this. What's your source on the thing about Walmart? I'm just curious.
Oh, there's been a number of documented studies that each Walmart store costs over $900,000 a year in government aid to their workers.
But in terms of them showing their workers how to get food stamps and that kind of thing, where's the evidence come from so that we know that's...
It's on their websites. In the case of McDonald's, another one of those moocher companies,
mm-hmm.
they made a number of very specific suggestions to their employees on how to survive on minimum mm-hmm. wage. Mm-hmm. And they talked about government benefits, but they also talked about selling your Christmas presents. And they had a number of various ways mm-hmm. that they thought employees could live on the minimum wage that they pay.
Sure.
And that means we taxpayers are subsidizing those corporations. And I find that frustrating. If we think of the people who are collecting food stamps as moochers, then we also think about we need to add to that list of moochers the companies that depend on those government programs for their employees. But well, it seems you can't say too many people qualify for food stamps. Well, that just means we're increasing the number of poor people. Isn't that a problem?
Well, and here's the thing. Let's look at, I mean, you're talking about symptoms of the original problem. You're talking about increased people that are on the rolls of those that are on food stamps, people that can't find jobs, and they're forced to take low-paying type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line cause of this is a bad economy. The bottom line cause of this is things aren't working the way they should in terms of manufacturing being in this country, in terms of jobs happening in this country. And let's look at some of the causes why.
Yeah.
Let's look at some of the causes for that. And I think some of the causes, you've got to look at things like
free trade agreements.
I would say that'd be part of it. I'd say it'd be part of it, but
H. Ross Perot said, NAFTA is the giant sucking sound of jobs leaving our country.
Well, wasn't
he right?
He also said, "I am all ears." So you know that was another fun thing. But regardless,
okay,
let's look at the way to solve the problems with the economy. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, you know, you see the unemployment numbers, and they're saying, well, we're at 7 point whatever it is percent now. And
in Michigan, it's over 9%.
Sure, sure. In various states, it's better than others.
Yeah.
And I guess the Dakotas are doing really well right
now. But Michigan ain't.
But, you know, let's look at ways that we could make this a little bit better. For instance, the government getting in the way of business doing what they can do. I mean, how much domestic drilling for oil takes place? How much of the different things that they could do to get more people to work in that industry they don't do? just simply because the government gets in the way with regulations and various things like that. To be able to hold up business.
Care of the environment and making sure the groundwater in our area. Just even Governor Snyder, as right wing of governor as you can get, was approved of protecting the headwaters for the Asable River and took that off the leasing for fracking.
And so you can argue that even your Republican governor
is part of that government getting in the way of drill now and drill more. How often have we heard Republicans go off on?
And here's the thing. Here's my idea when it comes to all of that. All right. There's two things here. And I lived someplace before. I won't name the company that was in this particular town that I lived. But I lived someplace before where they were obviously guilty of some pollution.
Mm-hmm.
There were some things that were going on that shouldn't be. And that particular company leveled the finest and the greatest PR campaign I have ever seen to try and convince people that it wasn't a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that, well, a little of that's not going to hurt you. Okay, I have a simple solution here, all right? Let's drill and let's do all this stuff and make sure that we've got all the resources we need. But guess what? If you make a mess, clean it up. The company is responsible for stepping up and saying, all right, we screwed it up and we're going to fix it now.
But
that, to me, that's common sense. That's not right wing or left wing.
Well, but many of the messes that industry creates are impossible to clean up. How is BP ever going to clean up the entire Gulf of Mexico from the millions of barrels of oil that they contaminated that body of water with? It isn't possible to clean up some of these things. And so you can't just let these for-profit companies run amok because some of the damage they're doing is permanent. TEPCO, the company that owns the nuclear plants, we are irradiating the Pacific Ocean. It is possible that the Pacific Ocean will never be a food source for humans again, based on what that company has done. And
tell that to the people of Alaska who have a whole lot of fisheries right now. They're doing some good business up there.
But
in the world does that work? Come on.
But how is that going to go away as we continue to irradiate the Pacific Ocean? There's evidence of animals in Alaska already showing signs of dying of radiation. There's polar bears that have open lesions on them now. But this is getting back to your approach.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the damage these companies can do is permanent. There's no undoing it.
So basically what we need to do is not have any jobs and have everybody be poor, but we'll be able to breathe. Is that the answer that I'm hearing?
Well, is your approach that as long as we're rich, the fact we don't have any air to breathe is it's all worthwhile because we got a lot of money?
Because you're taking this to the other level and saying, well, wait
a
minute.
So are you.
Well, you're taking it to the other level because you're saying there is no way possible for these things to be cleaned up. I lived in Louisiana for a couple of years. BP was doing a pretty good job of getting things cleaned up there. It's taken a while, absolutely, but they're doing it.
No, they're not. Never going to get the oil out of the Gulf of Mexico that has solidified and sunk to the bottom. Yeah, BP did a pretty good job of scraping up oil blobs that come up on a beach. But they're not cleaning that ecosystem. And when you have businesses that are doing irreparable harm to this world, these things need to be looked at before you let the companies do it. You can't look back in the rearview mirror and say, boy, we should have had a better plan. One of the least functional nuclear plants in our country sits on the shore of Lake Michigan, sitting on 20% of the world's fresh water. And the Palisade plants is one of the most, if not the most, dysfunctional nuclear facility in the country. And we leave it sit right on the shores of 20% of the world's fresh water. Are you going to let it get contaminated before you think, well, maybe we need to do an environmental impact study?
All right, you're deciding that corporate people are just looking at this and saying, let's squeeze this for all the money that we can get.
That's what corporations
here's
do.
Here's the thing, though. Look at this.
That's what they do.
If they know, all right.
Profits.
Let me talk about this, though. If they know that they're going to be forced to clean up a mess, if they make a mess to begin with, they're not going to do it. They're going to do everything in their power to keep from doing it because they don't want to have to spend that kind of money from investors that want to see a return on it. They don't want to have to spend that kind of money cleaning up. They're going to do some good work to try and prevent all of that. That's what I'm talking about.
No, they're not. It's a small percentage.
Defend by saying no, they're not.
It's a small percentage of their profits. And yes, BP put millions of dollars into their public relations program, cleaning up oil blobs on the beach. But they're not spending the trillions of dollars that it would take to actually clean the Gulf of Mexico of the mess they made out there. They spend just a minuscule portion of their profits, enough to let time pass so people forget. Exxon is still dragging their feet in cleaning up the mess they made in Alaska with the ship that ran aground 25 years ago. They still haven't finish that cleanup, and they're dragging their feet on it.
Okay. Is that your opinion, or you have some facts to back all that up?
I have facts to back that up.
I'd love to see them. I'd love to see them. And tell you what, we'll talk a little bit more about this. You know what? Let's take some calls as well. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, as we talk all of this stuff. All right, we continue ahead. By the way, the weather that you just heard brought to you by Westlake Drug. Our family serving yours for over 35 years. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Roger Taylor as well. We were just discussing rent costs, and it turned into a discussion about the environment.
So you we did sort of wander away.
It's like, okay, rent and the economy, and okay, over here to the environment.
How did I do that?
I don't know, but we managed to go all the way through the gamut of things.
It seemed to make sense at the time.
I don't know. I guess it works.
I can't come up with my thing on Alaska. I now know why my wife wanted to get rid of this iPad 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's crashing.
Okay.
And I can't get there yet.
All right.
I'm working on it, though.
All right. You're still working. I tell you what, maybe by about 7 o'clock that might...
I'll call you at home tonight, Jeremy, and about 2 in the morning.
Yeah, won't
I
that
got
be
my
fun?
Numbers.
Uh-huh. At that point, sorry. I've scheduled dreaming for that hour. CBS News coming up here in just a little bit. Some local news as well. Wall Street Journal report, too. Keep it right here for all of that. WKZO. It's the show without a name. This segment of that show without a name is brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. And
the National Weather Service has issued a winter weather advisory. Snowfall will increase in coverage and intensity this evening and continue into Saturday. 3 to 5 inches of snow is expected by Saturday evening. Locally, higher amounts possible east of I-69. It's not west of U.S. 131. Heavy snow east of I-69.
All right.
Weather brought to you by Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan. For the office nearest you, visit asthmaallergycenters.com.
Okay. So while we were going through the break with CBS News and all of that, we were trying to figure out just what it was we were talking about a little bit ago. I don't know. Apparently, it made plenty of sense to Jim in Galesburg. So, Jim, I don't know what we were talking about, but you have some comments on it. Go ahead.
Thank you. First comment, I have a question for Roger. Does Big Oil still get the subsidies that they have been getting in addition to the billions of dollars of profit that they're getting every quarter?
Oh, absolutely. They still get their depletion allowances and, there has been no scaling back of the subsidies to the oil industry. None.
There's no surprise because they probably, it appears that they bought off our part-time do-nothing Congress. But a good example of this is Enbridge, that in Augusta there.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have addressed that right away, it would have been held to a very little spillage. But they let it go and try to cover it up, but there is no accountability. Oh, yeah, they're cleaning it up at a snail's pace. But how would you hold them accountable when you... when they bought off our part-time do-nothing Congress?
Well, before we took the break, I mentioned that Exxon had still not paid up the fines that were levied when the Valdez oil tanker crashed into the shore in Prince William Sound in Alaska. And according to the U.S. Justice Department and the state of Alaska, they are still waiting for the long overdue scientific studies and the final $92 million in fines that were levied against Exxon some 25 years ago. Exxon has made billions in profit during this time, and 25 years later, they've still not paid the fines for dumping oil into Prince William Sound. That's what I'm saying. You can't let these companies make a mess and then try to make them clean it up afterwards. You need to be in front of some of these things. Clearly, we need to drill for oil. Clearly, we need to handle oil. But it can be done in a way that doesn't leave permanent scars on the landscape.
Well, that's common sense, and they don't seem to have it.
Well, there you go. What Mark Twain said, the only thing common about common sense is how uncommon it is.
But, you know, if we owed a fine to someone, there would be fines on top of fines, and if you didn't pay that, they would take everything that you owned.
Absolutely. What do you think the odds are of the IRS deciding you could owe $9,200 for 25 years and them not do anything about collecting that $9,200, let alone $92 million?
They take everything, even the shirt off your back.
I agree.
All right, Jim, thanks for that call. We appreciate it. We do have another caller on the line. We've got John in Kalamazoo. John, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, two comments. One, first of all, on our Congress trying to legislate big oil, when I look at our local congressman, who I believe is the chairman of the Energy and Ways Committee, whose brother-in-law happens to be Audrey McClendon,
mm-hmm.
Chesapeake Bay Oil Company, a very large company, which, where there's smoke, there's fire.
A major natural gas producer. That's what Chesapeake does.
Yes, and if you look at Upton's record in terms of not even in the voting, but what even gets brought up before the Energy and Means Committee is, I think, very intriguing. Second of all, oftentimes we complain about the amount of dollars we give in human welfare. We don't even think about the corporate welfare, that every dollar that we give to the corporation's welfare We don't see it reinvested back. We get about 15, 16 cents on the dollar that corporations reinvest back into the United States.
Well, John, let me ask you a question here because, sure. and this was not brought up by you, so I'm not necessarily getting on you to answer for this. But we had a previous caller talk about subsidies that the oil companies get. Let me ask you this. In terms of some of the subsidies and that kind of thing, if they didn't have that, don't you think the oil companies would come to us as a consumer and say, all right, gas prices are now going to be up a good bit higher because of that?
Well, I think, first of all, short term, that would be painful. But long term, that would be one of the best things for our economy that could happen. If we were to pay the true cost of the extraction of the resources from the ground, that would now lead us to capture all the free energy that is out there, not just the wind and the solar, but energy efficiency is this, to invest in using the energy we currently use at its most efficient way is hands down the most cost-effective way of producing energy. The less you use, the more there is. And frankly, the oil companies totally realize this. And, yeah, they've raised the prices in the short term, but they're they also realize price sensitivity. And they saw what happened in the 70s that broke the paradigm of you cannot have economic development without increase in energy usage. Amory Loving, Soft Energy Pass, put that forward in the 60s, and that was poo-poo, no, you can't. And you look at after the second oil embargo, we had robust economic growth while we had a decrease in energy usage.
Well, and look what happens to the price of oil when there is a recession. Part of the reason we're only paying $3.13 a gallon is because in Michigan we've got better than 9% unemployment, and there's a whole bunch of people who can't afford gas. And as a result, the price of gas has come down. But as soon as the economy picks up, the price of gas is going to be right up at $4 a gallon or higher. We haven't solved the energy problem.
Speaking for people who think that $3 a gallon is pretty darn expensive anyway, I went up to $4, but that was just a small amount of time and it came back down. How is it that it's so high to begin with? I mean, what happened? We used to be at like $1.40, $1.50. Now we're up to $3-something. What happened to $2-something?
Because what happened
to all of that?
The rest of the world is growing. China is now a major oil importer. 30 years ago, they were not competition for Middle East oil.
Which brings me back to the question of why are we not drilling here for more of our resources? If we did that, prices would go down.
Well, and they're right there, sir. Yeah, short-term gain, but now we're getting into the world of fracking. And I know, yes, we've been fracking for decades in this state. We've been vertical fracking. We haven't been horizontal fracking. You frack one well, you're going to dump about 2 million gallons of water into that well to keep it from collapsing. The chemicals that are put in that stew, that mix, that makes that water dead. You cannot process it to reuse it again. And frankly, sir, try drinking your gas sometime. I don't think it works so well.
Mm-hmm. And how much damage are you willing to do to the country that you're going to leave for your children to get that cheaper gas you want now? Part of what this country, the problem we've gotten into, is corporations manage themselves quarter to quarter. They don't take long-term perspectives on anything, and you can't plan for your children's future without doing something about planning what kind of an environment you're going to leave them.
Okay. First of all, thanks, John, for your call. I appreciate that. We do have to run from that call. But on the other side of this, I mean, is the solution that we just have gas be at $6 or $7 a gallon, have food costs go absolutely through the roof, which they already have, and cause worse economic problems and more poverty and all of this stuff and higher rent costs and people that can't afford to pay it just simply because we're trying to be just a tad on the cleaner side. I mean, how is it that that works? We're hurting all of us just so that we can maybe breathe a little bit more. I mean, we're going to breathe, but we're going to starve.
I think that's there's got to be somewhere in the middle there. I'm saying we need to protect the environment, and you're saying there's absolutely no need to protect the environment.
I'm not because saying that.
We need to make money.
You're misinterpreting my words.
I said earlier that
these companies need to clean up what messes they make.
But the messes they make can't be cleaned up. How are you going to remove all the radioactivity that TEPCO has dumped into the Pacific Ocean because their nuclear plants melted down? How do you clean up a mess of that magnitude? You don't. It's impossible. Exxon, no matter what we did to that company, can never restore the Gulf of Mexico to what it was
Wasn't Exxon that dumped in the Gulf of Mexico? You make sure you get your facts straight there.
Okay, that's BP.
BP.
Yeah.
They are cleaning up as things go along down there.
It's impossible to accomplish. All they can do is clean up the beach. They're not pulling the millions of gallons of dispersants they sprayed over the Gulf. They're not cleaning up the oil globs of this heavy crude that's fallen to the floor in the Gulf.
You make it sound like everybody's swimming in oil out there. You know, the fishing and that kind of thing is still going on in the Gulf. They still got a lot of seafood that comes in that way. There's still industry that is happening there. It's not, I mean, you don't go out in the Gulf and swim in oil. It's not as horrible as all that. I can tell you that firsthand.
So your opinion is the Gulf of Mexico is totally recovered. BP has cleaned up the huge mess.
They're still working on it, of course.
But they're never going to be able to complete it.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
How do you know they are?
How do you know that they're not? Let's go to one more phone call before we head to the break. Chris, Kalamazoo, go ahead.
Hey, I want to know who's going to clean up Mount St. Helens. Who's going to clean that up?
Excellent point. That's never
going to be clean. You know, that's a ridiculous argument. You know, who's going to clean up after you, Roger? You're dumping waste into the ground every day. Every day that you flush your toilet, you're dumping waste into the ground. That's never going to be better. But what I really called about was about the subsidies. And they're not subsidies. They're tax write-offs, just like my tax write-off and your tax write-off when you were in business. You got to write off a portion of your rent, a portion of your capital expenses, the same as any other company. It's not a subsidy, it's a tax credit.
But the oil industry has a number of special subsidies. The oil depletion allowance would be a perfect example of that. And the oil industry has lobbied for and been given special treatment in a number of areas.
Specific to their business, just like the airplane companies get to have lobbied for specific write-offs for theirs. But they're not subsidies. They are specific write-offs for their business that was targeted and passed by Congress or a president, and this president hasn't done anything about it.
What's the point? What difference does it make the words that are used to describe a special situation that has been lobbied for that saves a particular company millions of dollars,
whether it's
a direct subsidy or whether it's a tax write-off? That's all money that isn't being put into the public coffers.
You're right. They're not. Roger. No, we're not talking about semantics, because the net of it is that they pay more in taxes than they do to profit. That is a fact. They pay more in taxes than they take in profit. And that money.
Where does that fact come from?
Don't tell me, look it up.
Tell me, what's your source? You made the statement. Tell me where it came from.
You know, I don't have my computer right in front of me, Roger. You say stuff all the time. Look it up. I'll look it up, and I'll text it to you. But more importantly, the government didn't do anything to find that 1 gallon of oil. They didn't do anything. And they get a bigger section of the money that they generate from that in the form of taxes than Exxon or BP gets in the form of profit.
Okay, Chris, we do have to cut you off here because we're coming to a break. Thanks for that call. Appreciate it. The show concludes here in just a little bit. So you go into a weekend with Clapton. You got to like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't beat that sort of thing.
Were you a fan of J.J. Cale?
Can't say that I was.
Oh, that's who this song is from. He wrote the song.
Oh, okay.
And some of the guitar style in this was copied from J.J. Cale.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Flattered with imitation,
of course.
I guess is the...
Of course.
He was from the South. That's why I thought you might have...
Ah. Well, I spent 2 years there.
Okay.
So...
it didn't rub off in two years.
No. I have to admit, my time in the South, love for good barbecue and authentic Cajun. That did rub off.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I know what a good gumbo is as far as that goes. I can tell you that.
But, so do you buy Zatarain's spicy rice and stuff up here?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't necessarily like that stuff. I think the stuff that that I always enjoyed was stuff that we created in our own kitchen. We're kind of creative people that way. So
that and Jack's beer.
To bring this up, you still haven't brought me that beer.
Oh, that's right. I have promised you an Oberon for several weeks now.
It's going to wait till next week.
Yeah.
As will you. We're coming to the weekend. Have a good one.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.